It's good to be back.
Amen. Amen.
What a wonderful service we enjoyed this morning.
Yes.
One telling of being saved and four others that united with the church. It's been good already.
Amen.
Let's pray that that is not over.
Amen.
There's two things. Well, there's many things that I appreciate about the church here at Hilltop, is that when you feel the presence of the Lord and He's leading you to do something, you're willing to do it. I appreciate that very much. Everyone's not willing to do that. Another thing I appreciate very much is when the Lord's not in it, you keep your seat. And that's equally as important. We know what the true spirit of God is.
Amen.
And when there's a false spirit, we all know it.
Amen.
Follow the Lord, as Brother Jeff and Brother Carter's also said, I think. The Lord's not in it. Just be still.
Amen.
Be quiet. I've got two verses I would like to read that our Lord was bringing out on the Sermon on the Mount. We find in Matthew the 7th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There, that word straight means narrow, or an enclosed type of road, so to speak. And it talks about the broad way, or the broad road. It's well traveled. Many people are on. Now, when the Lord lets you know that you're lost at that moment, you find yourself on that broad road. You don't get on the broad road. You are on the broad road. But He says there is another road, or another way. It's a narrow gate. And few there be that go through that gate. We've our brothers have aptly said well this week, that gate or that door is representing Jesus Christ. And I mentioned a sheepfold. It has one door. And that's where the sheep go in and out. And at night, for fear of wolves and bears and other things, they would take those sheep in that one door, and there would be several flocks there in that sheepfold for the night. And when they got them all in there, we talked about the 99 and the one that He went and got because the others were safe, they were in the fold. And then when they're all in there, they shut the gate, and the shepherds slept there at the door. Now, I want to talk about the narrow gate. Now, Robert Frost, I'm not in the habit of reading poems, and this is definitely not a Christian poem, but I thought it might help me to relate to you what I'm trying to get across, and that you might have a better understanding, if you're here and lost, about where you're at exactly. And I want to speak as plainly to you as I can. The title of it is The Road Not Taken. Now, he said in this poem there are two roads and they converge in the wood. He says, I stood there at, he didn't say the fork in the road, but he says, I stood there where these two roads converged. And he says, I looked down one as far as I could see. Then I looked down the other and considered what I should do. Now, a salvation is not a decision, sinner friend, but you must decide to seek after salvation. That is a mental thing. You've got to make that decision, that choice to seek after God. Now, the broad road that I talked about is heavily traveled. Much wider, much broader than the little one that our Lord was talking about. He says that many people are on that road. Now, the other night a sister requested that all the saved come up here and left the lost in the back of the house. Around here, I'll tell you, you're the minority. That was obvious. But I want you to know something. In the world, you're in the majority. We are the minority. And it says that few there be that take that narrow way through Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. If you're on the same journey as the vast masses of this world, you're on the wrong road. You just got to logically understand that. And even the Christian community, it seems to me if they teach what I hear that they teach, or sometimes I have witnessed what they teach, they are on that broad road as well. There are few people, I'm afraid, teaching what we teach here, what you teach here, what we've always taught here, how that a person must come to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, how a person can know that he's a child of God, how a person can know that he's passed from death unto life, and know that he's on that narrow road. There's not many, and our Lord said there were few. Consider who you're running with. Now, talked about the city of refuge the other night, how that those roads were by law kept clear, kept clean. And when there was a fork in the road, in not knowing which direction to go, there would be a sign. I don't know if it said the certain city or if it said city of refuge. I don't know. Maybe it said both. But it let that person know that was fleeing to that city of refuge which road to take. We've been talking about taking that narrow road. You know, Robert Frost says, I'm sorry I can't take both. I wish I could take both. A lot of people would like to take both. But the Word of God says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve one and the other. If you serve one, you'll hate the other. If you hate one, you will love the other. But you cannot serve them both. So get that out of your head. You can't go down both pathways. You can't go down both roads. It's possible. Two different journeys, two different places that they find themselves in. Now, the people that you're on the road with on this Broadway, they love it that you're there. Have you ever heard the story of crabs? How that you can place them in an open bowl. You know crabs can climb. You can place them in an open bowl and none of them will ever escape. Do you know why? Because those that are in the bottom of the bowl, when they see one of the others climbing up to the top of the bowl, they'll grab their leg and jerk them back down. That's what they're trying to do to you, a sinner. They'll try to jerk you back down. I don't know why it irritates people so that we are, we call ourselves Christians. I don't know what's so irritating about Christ. Oh, what a loving man that he was. What did he ever do to anybody but come and die for the sins of mankind? He was such a gentle speaker. He was such a man of love and meekness and kindness and long-suffering. Why do they hate him so? They'd rather you be a Buddhist. They'd rather you be anything than to be a child of God. And they hate those that are on that little road that we're walking on. They despise us. The Lord said they would. There's atheists on that road. Job said there were physicians of no value. And they all on that road, ain't they? Physicians of no value. Why do atheists especially get mad at Christians? I'm not mad at them. They've got a right to believe whatever they want to believe. I pity them and I'm sorry for them, but I'm not angry with them. Why do they get it? There's something in there that's letting them know they just hope all this goes away and they're right, but they're just not quite sure. If they were, it wouldn't bother them at all what we're doing. Would it? I wouldn't think so. What about the agnostic? Says you can't know. Most of the Christian world today are agnostics. An agnostic Christian, if that's possible, because they do not teach that you can know that you're a child of God, that you can know that there is a God. You'll find more deceit, more lies in the religious community than just about anywhere else. You'll find that person says that you just do good. You just live better. Or let me baptize you. And then they come back. Now I've heard those that have been truly saved after they went through that experience and how that they relayed that they did go through the motions of that, and that's all that it is. They said the little prayer that they told them to say, and they followed the preacher down in the water and baptized them, and they said, didn't feel a bit different. Didn't feel a bit better. You know what they say then? Well, you just hold on. It's all right. And they're going to drag you down that broad road till you off go into hell. It's just like the blind leading the blind. It's just people stammering around on that road and have no clue, no direction. They're just going. Now, I tell you what. Those that seek the Lord are, you and I that have found the Lord, we're nonconformist. We are nonconformist. And the Lord, the Word of God says, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Sinner friend, we're rebels. We're rebels. We stepped out when most people are not willing to. We stepped out from the masses. We called upon the Lord and He saved our soul, and we got off of that old pathetic road that we were on. And people on that road saying, okay, peace, peace. He says, but there is no peace. There is no peace for those that are on that road. I don't care if they got millions of dollars. Does it look like to you that they're happy? Why, no, they ain't happy. Ain't none of them happy. What's so appealing about it? I tell you what, our little road has taken a whole lot of hits. How in the world could you be happy living the confined life that you're living? I tell you what, Paul said, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he gloried in it. I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. There is nothing limiting on the road I am on. There is nothing on the road that I am on to bring me sorrow unless I let it. Unless I let it. Now, on the road that you're on, there's thieves and murderers and baby killers. You know, we talk about World War II and how that 60 million people died. Well, this country has killed that many babies since Roe versus Wade started. We talk about how evil Hitler was. Brothers and sisters, this country ain't a bit better than Adolf Hitler. And killing babies is murder. M-U-R-D-E-R. And I don't care whether you like it or not. Baby killers on this road. All kinds of abominations. Every evil thing's walking on that road. Aren't you afraid you're going to get so caught up in it you can't get off one of these days? You know, they've had people that have been at stadiums where they were having soccer games or whatever going on, and something would happen and you'd have a mass exodus, and how that people were so crowded in trying to get out that people couldn't get away from them. They were just pushed along with them as they went along. They had no choice. They could not make that choice. They just were carried away. And people get caught up in that, sinner. People get caught up in all of that, and they just get carried away. If you can't handle the footmen, what are you going to do with the horses? And what are you going to do at the swelling of Jordan? You're going to get there, sinner, but the road, that broad road's not going to carry you across. You're just going to get right there on one side of it, and you're going to get swept away by the rapids of that river, and that river dumps off into the Dead Sea. Do you think that's a coincidence? Where it ain't no life, it's the most dead place upon the face of the earth, sinner friend. And that's where that broad road is going to take you. Amen. People say, well, just sit there. If you're lost and undone, just all you've got to do is just sit there. Not necessarily. The Lord told Saul there on the road to Damascus, he says, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. They were pricked in the heart on the day of Pentecost, and they cried out, sirs, what must we do? That's what he's talking about. Paul was kicking against that condemnation that he was feeling, that conviction that he was feeling. I don't know how long he'd been kicking against it, but he was kicking hard. He says, it's hard for thee, a Saul, to kick against the pricks. What he's talking about, an oxen. Oh, when you get an old stubborn oxen, sinner friend. I was an old stubborn thing for 2 years. I'd sat under the sound of the gospel. I knew what I needed to do. And yet I sat there and I sat there and I stayed on that road for 2 years. And I tell you what, it's not just sitting there. What you're going to have to do is, sinner friend, like you've already been doing it, you're going to have to resist. You're going to have to fight every time the gospel's preached to you. You're going to have to work at it. I had to work at it. When they tell about Jesus Christ, and all I could do was just keep falling on my face and calling upon the Lord, it wasn't easy to hold back. It's not just a matter of just sitting there. You're going to have to live in fear daily. I read one time how many times that people think of death every day. It's a matter of minutes that the average person thinks about death. You're going to have to be concerned about that for the rest of your life. You're going to have to be concerned about whether you're going to die before you wake up. You're going to have to be concerned about whether you have a car wreck on the way home. You're going to have to be concerned about a thousand different ways it is for men to die. Or 10,000. I'm just like you, Brother Jeff. I don't see how in the world I made it to 67 years as many ways as they are to die. Had to be only by the grace of God. And I want you to know something, sinner friend. You're still here because of the grace of God. How about it says in Ecclesiastes, if you are in sin and you're not reproved of that sin, it will grow worse and worse for you. And that's what is happening. You are so taking my Lord for granted. And that's not a wise thing to do. Yeah. Oh, being a song when I was young said, oh, the good die young. Good die young. There was one of the rockers, and I wasn't watching him. It was something else come on, and they just showed a clip of him. One of the famous ones, he looks like death warmed over. I mean, I don't know how old he is, but he looks like he's 130. He says, I hope hell's as much fun as it has been getting there. Nothing said, I'll be with you there, brother. I'm thinking, boy, you have no idea. You have no idea. That's not a party. And our brother very aptly told you that last night. It's not a party. And he won't be in there a second till he realizes, uh-oh, I don't want to be here. Now, I've briefly mentioned to you the horrors of that road. Sister said something the other night, talking about losing a loved one that knew the Lord. I tell you what, when I lost my wife, that's what I held on to. And I held on to that tight. I knew that I was going to see her again. Amen. Sinner friend, you're going to have things happen in your life. You think, oh, just bad things happen to children of God? I tell you what, bad things happen to everybody. Amen. Everybody has sickness. Most everybody has illnesses. Many people, everybody over the spectrum gets cancer, all sorts of evil things that happen to them. It happens to us all. The difference in me on my road and the road you're on, I've got the Lord. Maybe you're a stouter, stronger person than I am, but I don't believe I could do it. I know I couldn't do it. Oh, how I love to call upon the Lord when something happens. We were up there at Lafayette one day, and my oldest son, he was on the other end of the pew from us. He was about 12. It was right before he went to Hawaii. And he started having a seizure. Never had one. It shook me up. I didn't know what was going on. And I stood up and said, "Will somebody help us?" The very thought to come in my mind is, They can't help me now. They can't help him now, only to pray. And the deacon helped us get in the car. I wasn't in no shape to drive. And he took us to the hospital. You know what I was doing on the way over there? I was praying. I was praying. You see, I had somebody to walk with me. You know, Pilgrim's Progress talks about what a hard road it is. I tell you what, that pilgrim, he had a hard road, but every sinner upon this earth has a hard road. This is not an easy place. And because of sin, it's evil everywhere, abounding. And then Psalmist David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." On this road that I'm on, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. On this road that I am on, he leadeth me beside the still waters. On this road that I am on, he restoreth my soul. On this road that I am on, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And on this road that I am on, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and on this road that I am on, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody walks through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what this world is. It's just death warmed over. Everybody walks through that same valley. But he says, I'll be with you through it. I'll hold your hand through it. It's all right. You can rejoice through it. And I've seen those that are rejoicing as they left this world. I've seen those that say that they have a few days to live and rejoicing over it. How do you do that? Without help, you can't. Because it's on the road that they are on. And on this road that I am on, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And on this road that I am on, thou anointest my head with oil. And on this road that I am on, my cup runneth over. There's been so much shouting go on this past week. You need a waterproof flow around here. It's just the Spirit of God just spilling out everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I don't want them to feel sorry for me on the road that I am on, because I am thankful that I am on the road that I am on. I wouldn't want to be on any other road. And on the road that I am on, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Robert Frost says, "I have taken the road less traveled." I have taken the road less traveled. Acting independently from most of the world. What did blind Bartimaeus say sitting there at Jericho? He stood up and says, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." They said, "Bartimaeus, sit down. Be quiet. Hush! We don't want to hear that." But he cried out that much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." He was a rebel. He did not want to be on that road anymore. What about the woman with an issue of blood? That she was no doubt looking for the hem of his garment. I don't think that she bent over to touch it. I believe she was on the ground when she said it. And she was being tossed back and forth by those that were around her. She was a rebel. She would not be denied. And that's what happened to me that night. When I was seeking the Lord, I went that night thinking, I'm not going to be denied this time. And the devil is not going to lie to me anymore. If he does, I'm not going to listen to him. I say, get behind me. Oh boy, I'm going to my Lord. And I'm going to enter in at his door. I'm going to enter in at the narrow gate. And I'm going to be on my journey. And when that gate is closed, he cannot touch me. Our Lord said, Father, of all that you've given me, I've lost none. And this old stuff about losing your salvation, that's no more than the devil likes. I want you to know something. I'll tell you a funny story. And I was altogether joking. My 9-year-old son, he got saved earlier in the year, and Jean Lafayette, we were out riding together, just me and him. He wanted to stop at a store, and get something, and jokingly I said, I tell you what, Dave, I'll stop. I'll get the clerk's attention and you just fill your pockets up with stuff. He says, I just got saved, Papa. He says, I don't want to lose it. I said, that's the beauty of it. You can't lose it. He says, that's still again. That's why I don't want to do it. He says, I ain't been baptized yet. He will go and get something, you're going to pay for it. I said, okay. All right, that's what we'll do. But I says, you sure did give some really good answers.
Amen.
I want you to know something. I would have never let him done that. And my grandkids know me. But on that road, you get on it, you can't get off. It don't go back around to the broad road. It goes somewhere else. When that gate closes, she's shut. She's shut. I have taken the road less traveled, and he said, and that has made all the difference. That has made all the difference. If I never got one thing right in this life of mine, not one thing. If I made peace with God, I got it all right. And it's all right. And that has made all the difference in my life, sinner. I want you to know something. As these brothers have already said, there's not been one person regret seeking the Lord and finding him. My sister, I went to the altar when she was 9 years old. The same night I went to the altar when I was 10. I got saved the next night. She didn't get saved till she's 22 years old. But she has never recanted in saying that she's so very thankful that she didn't give up, that she kept seeking till the Lord saved her soul. A sinner friend, if you spent every breath that you ever had, ever will have, if you spent every breath calling upon the Lord and finding him, your life has been a roaring success. You never amass two nickels together. You never have nothing of this worldly goods. You are a beggar like Lazarus. You have been one of the most successful people, one of the few successful people that ever walked this earth. One of the few. Let's have a song. Let's have a song. When I'm done, I'm done.